Hello. I'm going to show, not really show anything, but talk about a couple of projects that are in a fairly nascent stage that will be ongoing for a considerable time. So I'm going to read to you a little bit, briefly, hopefully, from something that I'm working on, a much larger project that is quite reduced for this context. Of the various definitions of the term interface offered in the overview of the conference, I will focus on the second, a point at which independent systems or diverse groups interact. As this overview points out, the human-computer interface can act as both a boundary and a bridge within the social register. I see my work as a bridge-building project. The goals of my projects include building tools and transforming technologies for use by communities in their own empowering authoring practices, addressing the special problems of interfacing knowledge for communities with limited access to information technology and culture, and transferring the role of the author and distributing authority over system design or self-representation to collaborating communities and individuals. In short, I'm interested in providing interfaces to agency. In the cultural moment of globalized distributed information networks, artists concerned with the social and political function of art practice, those who would, to quote Margaret Strathern, wish to ethically engage the complexity of social life, are developing new methodologies, including what I would call designing new interfaces, reinventing ethnographic practices, employing models of complex systems, and exploiting new information and communications technologies. The one-way vector of communication between artist and audience is inverted in what I will call a context-dependent art practice, through which an artist generates a framework for collaboration with an audience that is meaningful relative to the audience's social environment. Participants are thus engaged in a manner which facilitates productive self-expression, increases social or political awareness, and challenges cultural codes. This form of public collaboration requires a commitment to exchange, communication, collaboration, and mutuality, a recognition that productive and effective works of art are dependent upon relations between people, not the product of one individual, and a desire to function within the social fabric of the audience participants' daily life. I argue that the ethical work of art today must be collaborative, must be founded on respect for each individual participant's particular subjective perspective, and must support democratic individuality, not bourgeois individualism. There are significant political implications embedded in a shift of authorial perspective from audience as viewer to audience as collaborator. In his 1934 essay, The Author as Producer, Walter Benjamin challenges the artist to avoid colonizing, appropriation, and misrepresentation, to change the technique of traditional artistic production, to become a revolutionary worker against bourgeois culture. For Benjamin, the artist must not be a mere ideological patron to the community, but must intervene like a worker in the means of production. I share Benjamin's conclusion that what matters in art practice is not the attitude of a work of art to the relations of production of its time, but what its position is within them. Quoting Benjamin, "What matters, therefore, is the exemplary character of production, which is able, first, to induce other producers to produce, and second, to put an improved apparatus at their disposal. And this apparatus is better the more consumers it is able to turn into producers, that is, readers or spectators, into collaborators." Information and communication technologies can be exploited and developed to this end. While digital technology makes a more balanced relation between maker and participant possible, real collaboration is often undermined by the authority of the artist, who retains control of the technology. The apparent autonomy given to participating spectators is often a false front, simply a product of digital technology's ability to offer more varied but still strictly controlled routes through a closed set of prescribed material. An ethics of interface design is needed. At minimum, interfaces should allow participants to understand how a system maps their input to its own output. the transparency of input to output, the accessibility of control parameters, and the balance of open to closed data information structures are limitations imposed by a system that either establish or undermine the collaborative role of the audience, and thus express the artist's authority. When addressing the distribution of authority in software and systems design, there is an important distinction to be made between interactive systems and collaborative systems. Interactor, participant, and collaborator are fundamentally different subject positions. Interactive systems often, either intentionally or thoughtlessly, obscure the mapping of input to system output. For example, many contemporary computer-based works rely on sensing technologies that average the input, like gesture or population density, within space. Such systems appropriate the body of the viewer, typically called the user, to drive the system. The viewer is reduced to mass or velocity, or trajectory, within a prescribed sensing field, often with no opportunity to know how her presence has affected her environment, and no means with which to learn the system in order to produce results based on her own, as opposed to the artist's intentions. This sort of interactive system uses the user. Some systems are designed to be learnable to varying degrees. Learnable systems allow the participant to develop an understanding of the structure and content of the system, how it maps input to output, and use it to express her own intentions within the limitations prescribed by the system. Mapping is the kernel of intersubjective communication in system and interface design. Two philosophies of mapping are common in current technology-based art practices, which I will call phrase-based and letter-based. Phrase-based mapping is assumed to reward the user under all conditions. This philosophy is based on the premise that the system should respond with aesthetically pleasing, as defined by the artist, output, regardless of the level of understanding or virtuosity that the user develops in relation to the system interface. Phrase-based systems privilege the aesthetic control of the author of the system and merely allow the user to trigger or reorganize already aesthetically viable embedded content. And Maggie brought this up in her talk this morning earlier. Letter-based systems allow the participant to develop her own content based on her own intentions within the limitations prescribed by the system and its interfaces. This approach expresses a much higher level of respect for the subjective perspective of the participant and, to varying degrees, abandons traditions of authorship and aesthetic valuation. When letter-based systems are designed either to learn from the interaction of the participants, to allow participants to contribute data to the system, or to reconfigure the system as such, they become what I call collaborative systems. Interactive systems address users. Collaborative systems evolve through the contributions of collaborating participants. In her essay, Storytelling as a Nexus of Change in the Relationship Between Gender and Technology, a Feminist Approach to Software Design, Justine Cassell from MIT proposes a productive strategy for the design of software that corresponds to the concept of collaborative systems. In feminist software design, authority is distributed to collaborating participants by allowing most of the design and construction to be carried out by the participants rather than the designer. The role of author, and in some cases the role of system designer, is given to the participant. I am involved in developing tools, a general set of tools that I hope will help distribute authority by allowing most of the design and construction of systems and interfaces to be carried out by participants. And this is my version of design, no design. This is a managed interface for the Zope content management system. I'm setting up a server with open source content management system and a simple database authoring tool for MySQL. Customized extensions of the content management system with plug-and-play scripts and a simple automized database design tool will make it possible for participating collaborators to develop their own database structures and display the content dynamically online without programming or design skills. I am currently developing and testing this system with students and student projects. With the help of an undergraduate computer science student, John Jacobs, I have converted an old project server into a test server for student projects. We have set up the Zoop content management system, an open source environment built on Python that facilitates the development of sites with dynamically generated content, and developed a web-based authoring interface for MySQL database connected to the Zoop server. And this is just the managed interface of the Zoop content management system. Just allows us to set up templates for DTML pages. It's basically a shortcut to CPI programming for non-programmers. And with the student programmer, we're able to develop much more sophisticated kinds of interface interactions for the students, templates that they can easily understand and adapt to their own project. And the idea of this project is that it is, in fact, very low-tech. So compared to this morning's discussion about advanced technology, this is kind of boring stuff in a certain way. But my hope is to make it so usable and so inexpensive that it can be distributed and used widely in sort of, I guess, low-tech circles. So the content management system using DTML allows you to generate forms for interactivity and dynamically draw content into web pages from a database. And the click onto this. And this is our the very beginning of our database tool, which just allows non-programmers to design and structure their own MySQL databases on the server and create associations between tables and so forth and so on. And if anybody wants to play with this, we'll give you an account and you can join us in our little experiment of trying to break things. Anyway, the database tool allows non-programmers to set up and design their own databases. I've already said that, sorry. Using student projects as prototypes, John has developed templates that allow non-programmers to program through Zoop. These templates make it possible to design interfaces to contribute to search and display data dynamically. The long-term goal of this development project is to prototype a server and a set of authoring tools that can be offered free of charge to enable communities and nonprofit organizations to design and build their own self-representations and information systems in public online environments. I consider this development and dissemination project a work of public art in itself. Public art practice has always presented the problem of a colonizing or utopian approach. The ethical strategy of collaborative systems is neither utopian nor colonizing. This approach to public art practice avoids representation and appropriation, producing a context in which to imagine something other, not organized into representation assumed to be true for any and all contexts. Public art should fulfill the Benjamin's goal for the Epic Theater, which was alienating the public in an enduring manner through thinking from the conditions in which it lives. While political and economic power are increasingly dependent upon access to and presence within the global information culture, the voices of the culturally, economically, and technologically disenfranchised are becoming less and less audible. This dangerous trend might be reversed if all communities of interest had the access and the ability to self-represent, publish, and broadcast in information space. Public/net/media artists can become context providers, assisting communities, collecting their stories, soliciting their opinions on politics and social justice, and building the online archives and interfaces that will make this data available across social, cultural, and economic boundaries. Context provision is an exercise of agency which can change the conditions of disenfranchised or marginalized communities. And so now we'll go to a current project called Need Exchange. As of 1998, at least one out of every three AIDS cases was directly related to injection drug use. There are an estimated 22,000 injection drug users in Oakland and Alameda counties in California. A total of 30, and that's where I live, so that's why I'm talking about Oakland. A total of 37.8% of all AIDS cases in Alameda County are related to injection drug use. Needle exchange programs are a proven method of reducing needle-related HIV risk behaviors among injection drug users. In 1993, the Oakland City Council unanimously passed a resolution declaring Oakland a city of refuge for needle exchange and declared an HIV public health state of emergency, which endorsed needle exchange programs. Casa Segura, the safe house, which this is a picture of the needle exchange operation of Casa Segura, which is set up in Oakland every Tuesday night in a cul-de-sac and next to a bunch of abandoned buildings and under the freeway and across the street from the BART rail. That's my neighborhood, so that's how I got connected to this group. Casa Segura is an HIV prevention clinic and needle exchange program. It's a community-based organization that provides easily accessible services to promote health and stop the spread of HIV, hepatitis C, and other drug-related harm among people who use drugs, their families, and their communities. Casa Segura's prevention strategies revolve around a come-as-you-are approach to healing and harm reduction. This approach is based on the belief that drug-addicted people can help themselves live a positive, more productive lifestyle if given the choice to change, the time, and the appropriate amount of support. Because Casa Segura provides needle exchange, it is politically embattled and continuously attacked by its district city council representatives and others interested in the economic development or gentrification of the Fruitvale neighborhood of Oakland, where it's located. Though critics claim that the needle exchange attracts drug dealers and users to the area, encourages drug use, and increases the incidence of dealing and other related crimes, statistics show that this is not the case. The clinic actually serves the needs of all the local residents. Needle exchange and harm reduction clients at Casa Segura live in the neighborhood, some in housing and others in homeless camps or out of shopping carts. Undercutting services to the area's neediest citizens would disadvantage everyone. Casa Segura's clients are most at risk for hepatitis C and HIV infection. By reducing this risk, Casa Segura protects the health of the whole community. Many studies show that needle exchange reduces HIV transmission and can serve as a bridge to drug treatment. They neither encourage drug use among program participants or spread drug use throughout the community. The continuation and expansion of the existing needle exchange and harm reduction programs at Casa Segura is critical for the public health of Oakland. But, and this is just another image of the exchange. This is an image from the building where the exchange used to occur. But Casa Segura's existence is under current and constant threat. There can be no better example of this fact than the arson perpetrated against the safe house on New Year's Eve in 2000. This horrible act of violence, thought by many to have been sanctioned, if not solicited, by the district city council representative, demonstrated how serious the misunderstanding is. Something must be done to foster communication between the safe house community and its opponents. Like the staff of Casa Segura, I believe that the pressure to move the needle exchange program out of the neighborhood is motivated, at least in part, by fear based on misinformation, disinformation, and lack of communication. Together, we hope to establish an environment for dialogue and communication between Casa Segura and the community it is situated in order to develop community awareness and support for both the mission of Casa Segura and its methods. And I'll just click through. There's some images of the fire. That was their photocopy machine. This was the upstairs hallway where offices were, and that might not be worth waiting on. No. That's a little bit of QuickTime video. To this end, I've initiated a collaboration with Casa Segura staff and clients to create a distributed work of public art, accessible online and situated in and across the Fruitvale District of Oakland, that will stimulate dialogue between the safe house and its community and increase awareness and understanding of the crucial services offered there. The project, called Need Exchange, is designed to help the staff and clients of Casa Segura attain social and political voice through dialogue with their local community and participation in the global information culture. Casa Segura's philosophy of harm reduction therapy and my own practice of developing collaborative systems share a premise of respect for the client or participant and a recognition of the value and dignity of all individuals, their experiences, and their perspectives. The project, which has been funded by the Creative Work Fund, has three phases. You've probably seen this already. I'll just click past it. This is actually an image of a group therapy session going on outside the burned-out building. And this is Jack, who is one of the participants in the project. He's a 73-year-old American Indian who's been addicted to heroin for his entire life. He says heroin is a great preservative. That's why he looks so young, actually. Okay, so the project has been funded by the Creative Work Fund. It has three major phases: outreach, voice, and education. The outreach phase is a website and a series of billboards and bus boards will provide information about Casa Segura, its services, its staff, and its clients to the Fruitvale community. The website and public graphics will be created collaboratively by allowing staff and clients to tell their personal stories in their own words and participate in the visual design of the web pages and billboards that disseminate their stories. Voice. The voices of the many individuals who both use and staff the center will be made audible to the public through the website and public graphics program. Each of these representations will be developed primarily from first-person documentation. In order to collect this first-person documentation, I am distributing inexpensive audio tape recorders and disposable 35mm still cameras to selected Casa Segura clients. These clients are documenting their daily experience and taping their own stories in their own words. And education, the third part of the project. A small computer lab will be established at Casa Segura. Using this lab, I will train participating clients in basic computer literacy and web publishing and engage staff and clients in a participatory design process. The lab will also provide email and web access to the participating clients and hopefully assist them in their efforts to find employment and do case management and access other support services of various types. I'm currently working with 8 Casa Segura clients on the development of their first-person documentation. I meet with these 8 extraordinary people during the Fruitvale Needle Exchange to discuss their progress and supply them with tapes and film. The Safe House has purchased a new building in which we had planned to set up the project computer lab, but a lien was placed on the building the day after it was purchased by the City Council. And the City Council has surreptitiously passed an emergency measure to keep the clinic out of its new home. While the Linda Smith Foundation's Drug Policy Alliance lawyers contest the constitutionality of this measure, we will set up a temporary lab in CASA's administrative offices. In April, I will begin working one-on-one with participants to put their images, audio files, and texts online. Most of the participants, like Jack, have never used a computer, and though they have heard about the internet, have never been online. Asked why people become injection drug users, RAND Corporation sociologist Ricky Blumenthal, who has contributed to several studies of Oakland needle exchange sites, answers, "For most folks, it's a pretty tortured path, and it certainly isn't based on the fact that you have a program that's taking used syringes from current users and replacing them with clean ones. I'd be interested to meet the person who said they started using heroin because there was a needle exchange program in their neighborhood." The Need Exchange Collaborative team wants the Fruitvale community to meet the clients of Casa Segura. We believe that if Casa Segura's clients' stories can be heard, then the community will no longer misunderstand or fear Casa Segura or the impact of its presence in the community. The collaborators believe that the website and public graphics program will initiate this meeting and encourage dialogue, which will lead to better understanding, empowering, and giving voice to those concerned who currently have little power and no voice. In public art, the artist must serve as an agent or operator. In Benjamin's terms, not to report, but to struggle, not to play the spectator, but to intervene actively. For example, a portable designed by Atelier Van Lieshout in collaboration with Dr. Rebecca Gompers, is a refurbished shipping container that functions as a mobile gynecological clinic. A portable was built so that women from countries where abortion is illegal can terminate their pregnancies safely and legally in international waters. The text, which accompanies the exhibition of this project at the Venice Biennial last year, begs the question of agency. To understand the work, one must move from ontology, what is art, to pragmatism, what can art do? Herein lies a possible revival of avant-garde politics. No longer historically ahead, nor operating through shock and estrangement, but rather producing works that make things possible right now. Instead of representing or illustrating the political issues they engage from a monolithic or univocal perspective, A Portable and I hope Need Exchange make possible new practical and political realities for the individuals and communities that they serve. Each contribution that is made through a collaborative system interface is part of a conversation, a negotiation between individuals and communities who are ready to take responsibility for representing their own subjective experience, social position, and political perspectives. By engaging communities of interest who have limited access to information technology and developing tools and interfaces specific to their needs, I hope to provide contexts for self-representation, communication, and education that will affect direct and substantive change in the political and material circumstances of their lives and the lives of their communities. In the historical narrative of social and political systems, local exchanges proliferate as global states. Nothing is inevitable.